See everybody tonight. Turn to page 113 in your book. 113. Let's stand and sing together. Glory to His name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, downward from cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied, and glory to His name. And glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. And I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. And glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast up your soul at the Savior's feet. And plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who's got a special spoken or unspoken prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house tonight? Yes, Miss Stacy. Okay, Gail. Anybody else tonight? Good to see Brenda back with us today. Yes, Dwayne. Let's do that. Little Amber, she's had a time. And just not very old either. Anybody else tonight? Any kind of special on your heart tonight? Yeah. Remember Mouse tomorrow, having that pacemaker put in. All right. Yes, Miss Becky all the time. Connie's mom, Marie, remember her. She's been having kind of a tough time. Anybody else tonight? Little Shirley. Marty. Don't forget Marty, who just lost Paul. Yeah, I'm sure her heart's broke. Yes, Miss Sandy. Amen. That'll preach every Sunday. It was good to see him today. I haven't seen him in a long time in church. I've seen him outside of church, but it's good to see him in church. Yeah, that's a blessing. And he's a good young man. Anybody else tonight? Let's pray for everybody in our church that does not know Jesus Christ tonight. I know we talk about when we're sick and those types of things, but the worst sickness in the world is your soul being sick and not knowing Jesus Christ. And the devil's got all kinds of ways to make you think that you're okay, that you don't need nothing. He's great at it. He's the chief of deceivers. And so let's just pray that we see through that, and God is much bigger than him. And that's what shines in the lives. Good to see you, Anthony. All right. Who will take up our offering tonight? Anthony, you help us with offering tonight. Remember Ron and Chris. I don't see Chris tonight, so let's remember them tonight, and Deanie. Anthony, bless our offering tonight. Chris was here in the form of Tom. He didn't miss a beat. Well, at least you're still learning, brother. Well, the good part is, if you're saved tonight, man, think about that. If you're saved tonight, if God took you on your way home tonight, it's okay. We'll just shout at your funeral. And because of that, Jesus wants us to stay near the cross, page 410. Then John's going to come and share a song with us tonight. John, thank you for that song this morning. It was beautiful. 410, let's stand as we sing. We're going to sing two verses of Near the Cross.
Run. Well, I had a request, but I'm going to sing this song anyway.
Got it. Not that one. That one. Okay. Good evening. Thank you. Okay. Let's get into the scriptures. What do you say? I like scriptures, don't we? Children of God like scriptures. You know, Sunday night is, I'm looking and I'm probably 99 and 100% right. I'm looking at everybody I've known for years and years and years, and people I've known for months and months, and some I've known for weeks and weeks. But I believe, I honestly believe, that everybody in this building tonight is saved. I would be really careful about making that statement. I'm just telling you from what I know and see. Now, you have to clear that in your own mind. You know, are you or are you not? I can't really go that far. But I'm fairly sure. So, how many here then are disciples? Give me a count, Lynn. 32. Okay. That was. Then he's out, right? I just wanted to read a couple of verses of Scripture, if I might, and then we'll go from there. There's a whole lot to be said about disciples and discipleship. And I'm going to be very brief in the message tonight, and I hope that you will be able to get something from it as we go into it. Luke chapter 14, if you will, I'm going to read three verses of Scripture. Well, I might read a little more than that. Yeah, I will. We'll start at verse 26. Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 26, if you will, or 25. Let's just start 25. That's called preparation. Everything's perfect, right? And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. There's a whole lot of people. You know what a multitude is? A multitude's a lot of people. There's a whole lot of people in the Christianity realm of things. A lot of people, lots of people go to church. Lots of people claim to know God in heaven. Lots of people claim to know Jesus Christ, his son. Lots of people talk about the Holy Spirit. And he knows this, and when he looks at this multitude, he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Man, is that tough or what? You got to know that he's not calling on people to hate his family. He's not. But come on over. He says in verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? He's saying you wouldn't be really smart if you did that. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Now is that in connection with what he said about you cannot be my disciple? Believe what he's saying here is, if you're not sold out, you're going to make a mockery of yourself as a Christian. And isn't that what's happening today? Christianity, for the biggest part, is a mockery. Because we say and we don't do. If it's important for a person to be saved and go to heaven, why aren't we doing more about that? Why aren't we carrying the word? out to the lost. Why aren't we? That's what he's really saying here. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or, what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? I can do the math on that, can't you? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough language. Actually, it just makes us take a look at ourselves. This is not to hammer anybody's head. It's to make us take a look at ourselves and see how sold out we are, how committed we are, how dedicated we are, how consecrated we are to the things of God. How faithful are we going to be? And I know, that's why I said what I said earlier, I know that Sunday night and Wednesday night are your faithful people. Not that there's not some faithful people who aren't here tonight. I'm just saying, for the most part, those who are here on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night are normally the faithful people. So how faithful are we? Well, we're going to take a good look here and see if we fall in that category, okay? Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this scripture. Lord, we are thankful for who you are and what you are. What you are to us, what you've done with us, what you've done for us. We're grateful. And Lord, we do want to be disciples for you. We truly want to be disciples. And so tonight I pray, Lord, that if you'll just give us an opportunity to look and help us see our own selves, make sure that when we leave here, we can honestly say, we are your disciples. And we'll praise you for all things you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I know a lot of people who have come up under certain preachers and teachers and said, well, you know, I sat under so-and-so for a long time. I went to this church, and this preacher was my pastor for years and years. I sat under his preaching for a long, long time. I sat under a Sunday school teacher for ages, and man, he could really, really, really teach. This is a little bit different in that he's not saying, who did you sit under as a pastor? Who did you sit under as a Sunday school teacher? Because what is a disciple? A disciple doesn't have anything to do with what relationship you have with Liberty Fellowship Church and the pastor, or Liberty Fellowship Church and Brother Tom. It doesn't. Here's what it is. A disciple is a term used to mark the relationship between Christ and his followers. That's a disciple. Are we following Christ? Do we have an honest-to-goodness relationship with him? It was the same then, when he had his disciples following him everywhere he went. It's the same today. A good definition of a disciple is a taught or trained one. You have been taught by a teacher. And by the way, in this case, Jesus is a teacher. So if we're going to be disciples, and we're going to be disciples of Christ Jesus, we must listen to him, because he is the teacher and he's the one we're following. The Bible says, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A teacher with complete knowledge. I've been under a lot of teachers over the years, don't know that any of them had complete knowledge. I do know that my Lord has complete knowledge, and it's okay that if I follow him, I don't have to wonder if somewhere along the way I'm going to stumble because he's given me bad information in his teaching. That's not going to happen. But I want to be as close as I can to him. I want to follow him so that I am getting more like him every day. That the more I read and study the Word of God, and the more I allow His Holy Spirit to work in me, and I become more and more like Him. And that's my desire. A disciple will want to be more and more like Him. That's a disciple, in short. There must be an established relationship. Established just simply means you've been there for a while and you're getting to know him better all along, and you're going to make it possible in your life to make more time for him and be taught more of him. I'm just talking about a growth in your relationship. We want to be more and more what he wants us to be. The Lord's going to provide opportunities for us to prove in our practical life. Now, I just brought it from another level, if you noticed. Because I'm not talking about in church now. Because a disciple's not only a disciple when he can walk in, he or she can walk in the front doors of a church and say, this is where I worship him, and this is where he teaches me, and this is where I'm his disciple. Because after all, he doesn't sit around. He's moving about among the people. Where do we need to be? We need to be out among the people. We have a job to do. So he provides those opportunities for us to prove in our practical life, our everyday, where we go to work, where we go to school, and we declare him as our teacher. We declare him as our Savior. We declare him as the one we follow and make it known that we're following him. I think it's important in this day in which we live in now. Now, taking it there, because we're going to talk about discipleship in business and where your workplace, where you work. And I know all, maybe not all, but I know a lot of the things a person goes through out on the job. I've been on the job. My first job was when I was 16 years old. I went to work for Giant Food Market, and I didn't know a whole lot then, but I was real close to the green stamp store. And I knew if I got me some green stamps, I could go down there and get me something. But I worked from the time I was able to get out and get a job. I went and got me a job. And I've worked many places since then. And I know how demanding jobs can be in different ways. But it doesn't make any difference how demanding a job is. We're still disciples. We're disciples of him. I'm going to take you all the way back to the first job anybody ever had. Anybody. Go back to Genesis. You think somebody had a job in Genesis? Let's get into the garden where there were no Walmarts or anything else. Here's what he said in Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden. And gave him his first job. He said, now this is what I'm going to have you doing. You get in there and you do it. What did he tell him to do? He said, well, I want you to go in there and I want you to dress it and keep it. He wasn't a landscaper now. But whatever God wanted him to do, he did it. He took good care of it. He had a job to do. So was that his only responsibility? Law, no. And your only responsibility is not to get up in the morning and go to work and make a living for you and your family and you're clear. Not it at all. There are so many more responsibilities that fall into that category of having a job and doing it right as a disciple of Christ. And when he told him, I want you to go in there and I want you to dress it and I want you to keep it, that was his job description. But then things happen on the job, don't they? Man, do they ever. And I'm seeing some of you right now thinking about where you've got to go to work in the morning. And you're thinking, oh, mercy. You see, he messed up. They messed up on their job in the Garden of Eden. Now, if you're going to mess up, Garden of Eden's the worst place in the world to mess up on a job. If the Lord has created you, made you what he's got you to be, and he gives you one simple job to do, and that's dress and keep the Garden of Eden, and you can't go in there, and you can't go in there without sinning. He had instructions. You can eat of all these others, but don't eat of this one. And we couldn't keep the one rule. Messed up. It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? Well, really what it did when they messed up and sinned, it caused the job to be a burden. The job, I would have loved that job. Wouldn't you have loved that? Because everything God had created was around. All the birds were just flying freely and singing up a storm. All the animals were walking around looking at you and saying, hey, Dan, how you doing? Good day, isn't it? This is a great day. Man, God's done this for us. He created all this, and here we are. Just, I mean, everything is beautiful in its own way. Beautiful. And then you sin. Then all of a sudden, everything that seemed light and happy and healthy and everything, the burden of sin took over. Wow. You see, but work is it's a divine thing. You think you might go to work because you're the one who got the job, or someone helped you get a job. How many of y'all been helped getting a job? Has anybody ever helped you get a job? Yeah. We all try to help each other get jobs, don't we? If I know somebody needs a job, I start looking right away for the type of work or whatever work they want to do. I start looking and I'll say, hey, I found somebody you would need to talk to. Go over there and see him. Tell him I sent you. See if you can get in there and get you a job, because jobs are important. I can tell you this, that wherever you land, it's not my fault. Huh? If you get a job, I only suggested. If you get a job, the job was given to you by God. Did you need a job? If you needed a job and God gave you a job, I didn't give you one. If God gave you a job, that makes it a divine place. Yeah. So when you go to work in the morning, go in like you're just stepping right in on the streets of gold, and you're there to work up a storm. See, I'm looking at y'all, and I know where most of you work, and I know your places, and I know, go in there and just act like that's a heavenly place. In fact, you can go in singing a heavenly song if you want to, because your job is a divine arrangement between God and you to be where you are. You're not there for the job. He doesn't put us in a place to work our fingers into the bone. We say we're working my, is that the way it is? To the bone, yeah. Yeah, to the bone. We're not sent there to do that. We're sent there because we're disciples and we're going out there where there are other people who need the Lord. If you're there on a job, I don't care where it is, how you got the job, doesn't make any difference. It's a divine place that God arranged for you to be. So when you go in, you're going in as a disciple of Jesus Christ to do a job for him. You think now you're Pollyanna-ing the thing and you're making it look glowingly. It is. It's a divine place. It doesn't matter how you feel about it right now. If you feel bad about your job, either don't go in the morning or go in looking different. Huh? Yeah, because we're disciples. We got a job to do. And our job is to reach people, not to go in and do specific things. You'll do that because I'll show you here why it's important that you do that in just a minute. Okay? Can I do that? Would that be okay? You know, we've all had that phrase put to us, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that sounds good. That sounds wonderful. Sounds great. Because we who work, we don't want anybody getting any benefits that they don't deserve. We think they ought to go to work just like the rest of us and work. And I should get an amen there as sure as shooting. Because it's scriptural. But that's not where it all stops. And that's not where it all starts either. It's not. We're also to work for our own support, the support of our family, right? When I went to work to feed my family because I knew if I didn't, man, I'd be the talk of the town. If I didn't support my family, how awful would I be? But there's another reason why we work and make a wage. It's not just for me. And it's not just for those close to me. It's for anyone else who might need help. So when you go to work as a disciple, because we know where the Lord is in this, we know what He taught, we know the level that He's on, and if we're working our way up to His level, we've got to think like this, that we're not the only ones. I just asked for a simple little gummy a while ago, and I was told no. Now, somebody's going to have to do some teaching for my little Addie, or she's going to grow up eating all the gummies, and nobody else is going to get any. I just wanted you to hear that. I love that little youngin. She thought about it for a second. I said, can I have a gummy? And she went, no. Nope, she wasn't going to give me one. But when we go out, do we go out to work knowing that we're going to get a pay, and there's people out here who don't have a job and don't give me that thing. Well, they could work if they wanted to, or they're healthy. They don't need to be doing. They could go get a job. There's job signs everywhere, you know, where people work. I know all that, but there are people who desperately need help. There are people who just need to pick them up, and that's where we need to be. And now, if we've gone out and worked, and God's blessed us with the ability to work, with the energy to work, the health to work, if He's blessed us like that, and we have a little extra, and we can help somebody, we need to help somebody. It's not all about us, and we need to have the disciple attitude that it's not all about us. So that old thing, if you don't work, you don't eat, let's go ahead and say that. It's good because it's biblical, right? But we're not going to live there, right? I just believe that everybody has a calling from God to do a job in this earth down here while we live, and to do it not just for me, not just for my family, but for anybody else who needs help. That's where we live. And that's not just for the church. If you say, well, I give my tithes to the church, and if they need help, they can go and the church can help them because I'm doing everything I can do. That's okay, but don't have that attitude, okay? The church is going to help them. If we can, we're going to help somebody who needs help. By the way, just so you know, we don't just help everybody. We do check it out. We don't just hand it out because you touched our nerve, our little good nerve, you know, that little give me everything you got nerve. You know, we don't do that. You know why? Because it's God's money and we're responsible for it. We're stewards of everything that goes through this church, and we need to make sure that what we're doing is the right thing. And then when you help, you know that you're helping the right way. I didn't do this, but I want to do this. Would y'all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7? I think I'm going to do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Won't take but just a minute here to read this. And we'll just see what he's got to say here. Are you all there yet? Well, my pages are sticking together. A little spit helps, don't it? Okay, look at, if you will, verse 20. In verse 20, he says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, that's what we are. As disciples, we are servants. Yeah. Amen? Amen? We are servants. Being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So when you go out to do what you're going to do, you're a servant of Christ. You're not on your own. You're not making decisions yourself. You're listening to a voice that's going to speak to you and tell you. There have been people that I have met that I don't know how he told me, how he talked to me, but I've said, I need to help this person. Now, nobody screamed out at me, never wrote me a letter or anything. And you'll know. If you're his disciple and you're following him close, you'll know. You're bought with the price. Be not ye servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. If we abide with him and we're listening solely to him and not another person, we're going to be right. You won't help wrong, you'll help right. I promise you that's the way it'll be. Now, let's just take a look here for just a minute about what he's saying here. What is the gift bestowed upon me as I go out to work? What has he actually given me to do? Well, he's given me the opportunity to be something to somebody else. That's what all the disciples were. They were something to somebody else. He gave them the power to touch and heal at one time, if you remember. They were to go out and do healing for him. It wasn't their power. They went in his power. And they could do that because he was one who sent them. And when God sends you to do a job, he sends you with his power. So when you go in and you get a chance to witness to somebody, I can assure you that what he's going to do is work in your behalf. The calling of God is for me. I got to take it personal. I can't go to school and do Nick's job. I can't do that. I can't go to Anthony's job and do his job. It's not that I couldn't do the work if he'd show me how to do it. It's not that I couldn't learn really quickly. Even at my age, I've learned to do a few things quickly. It's not that at all. It's just that I can't do your job. I do my job. God's given you a job and you a job and you a job and you a job. Everybody's got their own job to do, and the job is not to go. And Patty, Lord bless you, honey. Anybody in the medical field nowadays, I just feel really sorry for them. You know, that they have to watch people suffer and they just take advantage of you, don't they? I'm going to make it sound real bad here, and then I'm going to tell you what you got to do, Patty. So when you go to your third floor, or what, huh? Second. When you go to second floor, you go to work in the morning, do you? Well, when you go to second floor in the morning, when you go down, what, 2,200, 2,300, 2,500 the other way, 2,500, when you go down 2,500, I want you to take a look in each room as you go down. There's somebody in probably every bed up there on 25, right? There are people in there sometimes around those people. There are people in the beds. They're everywhere. When you go by those rooms, if you'll just take a second and glance and say, God, now you help me. If there's a person on this floor today that needs some extra help, I want to be there. I want to say a word to them that'll help them. When I'm gone out of here, when I clock out today, I'll know I didn't just issue medicines and I didn't do all the things I do. That I reach somebody's heart and soul, because that's what he does. That's what he does. Can he heal physically? Of course he can. But the spiritual healing he does is much more important than that. And the thing you might say to somebody may be the best thing they ever got while he's in the hospital. Take a minute and do it, because that's the kind of disciples we are. We should seek the face of God in everything we do on our job. Now, I know where Lacey works. I know she's on the second floor. Am I right? But Lacey has done all those jobs around there. She's worked with my doctor out there. She's worked with the desk. She's worked. I don't know what all she's done, but I'd say she's done a little bit of everything. But they got her now up on the second floor where she's limited in people up there, aren't you? But I got a feeling that even limited, she's going to reach somebody on second floor. If not, she'll come down first floor and look for somebody. We're disciples of Christ. We're servants of God. We've got a job to do, right? Amen. Amen? We do. Now, it's necessary that we develop this job. If you go to work and you're happy with what you're doing, you don't ever try to get ahead. What I mean is you don't try to learn more by maybe even taking a course in something, or, you know, listening to an older person who's been there for 90-some years. That was a joke. But you're trying to learn more and be more. You want to be more to the job. If we're not trying to develop our life with the Lord, what are we doing? Because he used the word grow. How do you grow if you're not trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How do you do that? Well, you just get into his word here, and the more he tells you, the more you do, because he's teaching us what to do. We're developing our job, our life that he sent us to do. He is. I've been to a few schools that helped in the job that I was in. I always felt like I wanted to be the best that I was doing, you know. And it was probably, looking back on my younger days, it was probably just so I could gloat and tell them how good I was, you know. But that, now that I think about it, it wasn't it. I'm only kidding, okay? That's not where I was. But I wanted to do the best I could do. I did not want to be on the bottom of the totem pole. I wanted to be the best that I could be. Y'all want to be the best you can be? Well, how do you do that? You get into his word every morning before you go out to your work. Remember, your job is not your work. Your job is your place to get there so you can go to work. Go to work for him, because you're his disciple. You're his servant. We got to look at what we've got to do, and we got to know that the Lord wants to glorify our efforts in whatever we're going to do. Whoever we reach, he's going to glorify that, and somebody's going to get something really good out of it, because you're being a disciple. You're being a follower of his. And God does not expect us, if we're his disciples, he does not expect us to have a job where we would, if we can be on, well, I'm trying to say this real delicately. If we can be in the house of God on a Sunday morning and we've got a job that we could go to work if we wanted to, we could get that time and a half, or did I say time and a half? Or is it two times now? What do you make when you work a little extra? I'm up there somewhere where you can make more and everything, and you can make that extra money. What do you do? Unless do you make a good conscious servant's decision as to whether you go to that job? Because I know people, I'm in the real world, I know people who will work 7 days a week if they need to make more money to have more things. Now, only the person can think through all that and see if what they're doing is to live and support, or is it just to have more? What is it? Well, if it's the latter, then you can't opt out for going and worshiping with your church family. You can't. A good disciple, a disciple is not going to opt out when they can be there. I know that was a tough thing to say, but I had to go ahead and say it. And did I say it delicately enough?
Amen.
Say yeah, I did. Okay, thank you. We possess nothing.
Amen.
Anything I've got, it's not mine. Is that the way? Did you know that all of his disciples felt that way? All of them. It's the same today. That whatever I have, it's yours. So right after service, I'm going to give my Red Ranger truck to Dustin, and I'm going to take his Jeep. It's not his, it's not mine, right? What I have is not mine. What I have is not mine. What I have belongs to you if you need it. That's what he tells us to do. Everything, we're stewards of what God has placed in our laps. I'm to watch after it, look at it, and do what I can to so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. I am a disciple. No disciple can amass great wealth on his own just for his own ego. You can't do that. You can't be a disciple and do that. If you're a disciple, you won't do that. So I suppose that the Lord just wanted us to talk a little bit about discipleship tonight. And are we or aren't we? Now, I know that when you go in the doors of your workplace in the morning, you're going to think of this. I know you are. I can see the look on your faces. You're not going to forget it. You're going to go into your place of work, and you're going to think exactly what I just went over. And you know what's going to happen during the day? God's going to place somebody in your path as a test. You think I don't know? Oh, I know. And I've told you about some times when I would go to the hospital to see somebody who's sick and get on the elevator with one other person, going to the fifth floor. I love that. Going from first floor to fifth floor with one other person gives me all kinds of time to talk. And after that door opens and we step out, even if I'm not going to that floor, we have time to finish that conversation. Because God places people in our way. He does. I want to be a good disciple. And I want you to be a good disciple, because a good disciple is a happy disciple. A blessed, happy disciple. Let's bow our heads. All we have as disciples is increased opportunities to do something for the Lord. And just for a moment here, we're just going to have a moment of silence for everyone to think of their own personal position in this life and in your relationship with the Lord, and see if we're where we need to be, where we ought to be. But boy, he's been so good to us. He's such a good teacher. He's the preacher of preachers. He's the leader of leaders. He's the physician of all physicians. He's everything. And we ought not to care how closely we follow him. We need to be as close as we possibly can. He wants us to. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be disciples. We thank you for the opportunity to be servants. We thank you for the opportunity to be your children, and you to be our Father. Our Father in heaven, who has all power, all knowledge, and is everywhere at all times.
thank you for allowing us to be in that wonderful spot. And as we go out tomorrow, Lord, as you place people in our path, God, help us to have the boldness as your disciples to direct them towards you. And we'll praise you for everything you do for us. Everything in Jesus' name. Amen.